B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on a Tuesday, August 24th. Felger and Maz here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester alongside Big Jim Murray in our update studio. Fellas, how you doing?
Good.
Big boy Tuesday.
As Maz is referencing, we're also joined today via Zoom, maybe for one of the last times, the big boy himself, Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal every Tuesday during the football season. And here he is. Greg, are you there?
I am here.
Hi.
Good to see everybody's present at nursery school. Like to see it.
That's here right. We go. Back to work. Back to school, everybody. Party's over. Back to work. Back to school. Fully loaded program.
No, you missed the joke because we're all children, you see. That's why you refer
exactly.
to it as the
you
nursery.
You see, you can't go humor with me or you can't do that. I'm not. I don't have a humor mode. I'm just plowing ahead with the segment. So let's plow ahead with the segment, shall we, Greg? What's the latest today? What are your takeaways? You were down there at practice, I assume, today, and the media availability with Bill Belichick. We all know the story with Cam Newton yesterday. What happened today? What'd you see today? Where do you think we stand?
Well, on the field, I'll start with on the field. I thought Mac Jones was better today. I thought he was pretty shaky the first day, and it certainly wasn't a day that made you think, okay, well, they're going to be moving in another direction. Or it certainly wasn't a coronation. Today was a little bit better. I would say it's harder to judge because it was in shells. And while there were some pretty competitive periods, it's still glorified flag football. I mean, I know you guys are tossing out, you know, 40 pass attempts and stuff like that. There weren't 40 competitive pass attempts in this practice. And even I thought Jones's interceptions were not really competitive periods, but I'm not going to make too much of them. I'm not going to make too much of the touchdowns, even though I thought the most significant drive that he had, and this sort of goes to, I think, the overall thing with this situation. Mac Jones, it was an end of the half. He definitely led them down the field, handled the clock perfectly, threw a perfect touchdown to Jacoby Myers in the back right corner of the end zone. Three plays later, he had a beautiful pass back shoulder to Jonnu Smith for another touchdown. And those are nice and they're big. I would say the most significant thing is those are reps. These are situational reps that Cam Newton is missing. And he just cannot afford to miss them if he's going to be any sort of quarterback for the Patriots this year. Now, do I think it's, you know, a five-alarm fire that he's missing these days and he can't recover and things like that? No, I don't. And I actually think the timing is good for him as far as any repercussions for the season. But after all the excuses that we heard about Cam Newton last year, you know, the Zoom meetings and not having to be on the field and COVID and this and that, that he put himself in this situation where he's missing this significant work, it doesn't speak well of him.
Is it going to cost him? Is it going to impact his job status?
I don't think it is. I have no inside information. I have not watched the practice the past 2 days and thought, oh, well, they're really, you know, they were just looking for an excuse to toss Newton aside. He's given them an opening. Now they're going with Mac. Could that happen? Yeah. But that's not the sense that I got. I do think, however, Mike, that tomorrow's practice against the Giants, when Mac Jones has a spot to himself, this is going to be pretty significant. I mean, if you were looking for a do or die, it's game day for Mac Jones. If he really wants to start game one or very early in the season, He's got to perform tomorrow before Cam Newton comes back on Thursday.
So, I'm sorry, Maz. Let me just ask you one more. Do you say you don't feel this is going to affect Cam Newton's job status because Mac Jones doesn't look quite ready in Bill's eyes, or this was never really a competition and Bill just wants to go with Cam come hell or high water?
I think somewhat, you know, relative to what we talked about last week, I think that Bill, for whatever reason, it could be Mac's physical stature, things like that, I don't think he had designs on starting Mac Jones from the get-go, unless he completely blew Cam Newton out of the water, which I don't think he's done. And I don't think that this situation changes anything, and here's why. And this is why I put a lot of this on Bill Belichick. He knew that this situation was not only possible, it was probable that this was going to happen. And he completely just plowed through. This is what we're going to do. Cam Newton's our guy. We're getting him ready. He's going to start the season opener. Bill knew this was possible. And so you combine that with also how they covered Cam's butt in the statement yesterday. They could, if they wanted to, they had an easy out. They could have exposed him. They could have basically moved away from him. And instead, they basically covered for him. And to me, that tells me that he's their guy. And unless the wheels fall off and there's some sort of big difference between Mac and Cam because of these missed days, these three practice days, then I don't see much changing.
Okay, we're talking football and this story with Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal. Jimmy, you can please release the phones if you want to join us out there, folks, at 617-779-0985. Maz, you have a thought?
Yeah, so Greg, independent of whether or not it affects their decision-making, are they at all irritated by it?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're mildly irritated that, you know, and I don't know the exact circumstances, but in my opinion, from talking to people, it was Cam left. Everyone knows the rules, especially the Patriots, that unvaccinated players, if they leave the area, they leave the facility, they're going to have to jump through a bunch of hoops. And maybe the Patriots put it on Cam and Bill said, hey, Cam, look, if you want to be unvaccinated, that's up to you. And I can't mandate anything. But you better make sure that you do the right things if you do end up leaving or what have you. And so I just think that Newton screwed up in this circumstance, and I think the Patriots are covering for him.
And you put some of this responsibility on Bill Belichick. Explain that again.
It's Bill made this bed. You know, he brought Cam back. This is Cam not being vaccinated is not some development in the last week or two. This has been going on for probably months. Bill knew this situation and just plowed ahead. He, Mr. Chess Checkers, who sees all the moves three or four moves down the line, and I believe that that's what he does. He's smarter than everybody else. That he couldn't see this coming and that this was going to be an issue at some point in time, it's on Bill. Bill let it happen. But I will say this. The way he has conducted training camp and the way he has used the quarterbacks, and we talked about this last week, I don't think he views either quarterback as significantly better than the other. So I think he's just fine with whatever happens here with Cam's COVID situation. If Cam comes back and he's ready to go, great. If not, it's Cam. But I do think that it happened this week and it didn't happen, say, because I think the Patriots, once they get through Sunday, they're probably going to give the players another couple days off because, you know, all of a sudden they have three, four-day weekends during training camp now. He's probably going to give them a couple more days off. Cam's probably learned his lesson. He's probably not going to go anywhere now. But if it would have happened after this in prep for the season opener, then I think it would be different. I think there's time for Cam to make up the difference.
Are there other coaches that are in lockstep with that kind of thinking, that there's not that big of a difference between the two quarterbacks? In other words, does Josh McDaniels, do you think, feel that way?
I think to start the season, I think they're all pretty much in agreement, from what I can gather. That I think they're good with everything. I think they think that – you know, Cam has a bunch of things he needs to work on. Mac has a bunch of things that he needs to work on. I mean, even Bill Belichick today, in talking with the media, talked about how, like, you know, we've only been in camp for like 3 weeks, and he, you know, Mac's got a long ways to go, and all that stuff. So I think that they view the quarterback position among both players as sort of it's a work in progress over the course of the season.
Well, let me lend my analysis. I know you're not saying this, but I am. I think this goes back to Bill thinks he can win with any quarterback. I mean, the way you wrote it on Boston Sports Journal, you know, and you had this great little section in your story that posted this morning before today's practice. So I guess it's a little dated, but this is what you had after yesterday's practice. And you said, here's what I think Belichick thinks. And the first thing you said was Newton and Jones are close enough that Belichick doesn't really care who starts the season at quarterback. They'll win games with either one. They're each different, but in reality, they both have strengths and weaknesses. And that's when I read that, I just think that goes back to Bill saying, I can win with any number of guys. It's really not that important a position. I can just, and it's sort of like, it just has that reek of Bill's arrogance at that position. Like, it's fine. I can win with anyone. He still doesn't get it.
It goes back to your take that Bill hates quarterbacks.
He hates quarterbacks. He thinks they're a necessary evil. They're kind of a nuisance. They are not essential. He thinks they're unessential. Everyone makes a big deal of them, and it kind of bugs them that they do. And we can play with that guy. We can play with this guy. We can play with that guy. It doesn't matter. We'll be fine. And that just all goes back to his attitude at that spot. And the fact that he's doing it with Jones and Newton is one thing. Maybe they are close at this stage of their development. Maybe, just maybe. But I just can't help but go back to the fact that he did it with Tom Brady. He did the same thing with Brady. It's his same mindset. And it's like he still doesn't get it.
No, it's completely consistent with who he is. And I mean, obviously we're talking about quarterbacks and we're talking about the most important position on the field. I think he looks at all the players that way.
Well, yes, right. But he does it at quarterback, just like a long snapper.
It's asinine. It is. It's asinine to do it at quarterback. Totally preposterous.
It's okay. You know, related to that, I understand what you guys are saying. And you paint it as Bill being arrogant, and you could, you know, probably group Josh McDaniels into that as well. I choose to, you know, knowing the particulars, I choose to view it a different way, where I just think they have confidence in their coaching ability. That, like, and I think the Castle year and the way he's spoken about it in years since speaks to this, where it's just like, okay, well, if you tell me, just tell me what I have for a certain week, and I'm going to win that week. And I think those guys believe it. And I think they're really good at what they do, and they are capable of doing that. Now, I think you're talking more bigger picture and longer term in terms of who the quarterback is for the year. But I think when they think about it, they think about, all right, if I have Cam Newton or Mac Jones, it really doesn't matter. We're going to game plan how we need to for that quarterback. We're going to play defense a certain way. Maybe we steal a couple plays on special teams because we're so good there that it's not going to hurt us no matter who the quarterback is.
Okay, so Greg is a Mac Jones guy, so he's not saying this is how he feels, but in terms of if he has to handicap what Belichick's going to do, it feels like this episode will not cost Cam Newton his job. That's the thought as we speak today. Your thoughts on that at 617-779-0985.
Boston's home for sports. Failure in Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, I had a question relative to Cam. I know you guys put out a statement, but...
Yeah, and I don't have anything to add to it, Tom.
This is a general question, though. For unvaccinated players, they are going to have their availability more compromised throughout the season than vaccinated players. Is there a point in which that becomes a factor in any of your decision-making?
Yeah, the league rules are the league rules. We'll be compliant with them, so whatever they are there.
but it's almost like an injury. Like, it's the guy could be, wake up one morning and he's not available to you, and it's a preventable situation in that, unlike an injury.
This is similar to what it was last year, so we dealt with it last year.
But there was no vaccine last year.
I understand. I'm talking about the rules.
Right, but there's something that can be done now to circumvent that rule.
Yeah, look, every team's dealing with the same situation, so...
Just another kind of thing I think we only get here. It's just a here thing. Every other coach, yesterday, when he had two major media availabilities, would have just said, Newton's in a COVID protocol. We really can't talk much about it, but we hope to have him back on the field on Thursday. Sorry, but I can't answer many questions about it. And they just, it would have been over yesterday morning, but no, Bill waits to send out the news after he does his pressers, so he doesn't have to answer it. Then he gets asked about it. He sounds like a jerk. No one gets any information. It's like, this only happens here. And it's one thing when they're winning, and you can say, well, that's why they win, even though that's stupid. But when you act that way and you lose, well, really, what's the point now?
And good for Tom for continuing to pepper him, too. Like, oh, do you think it's over? Because you just said, no, I got nothing to add to that.
I mean, of course. So, anyway, there's Bill. I think it all makes him look bad. It all makes him look bad, and it goes back to the decision to hitch your wagon to Cam Newton. And in some respects, he's been a good pro, and he's done right by them and all that. But in other respects, I think it's overrated. I mean, he was irresponsible last year. He was irresponsible this offseason when he banged up his thumb. Probably not on campus. And because we now, the media, it's a whole different thing now. No one looks to find the truth. No one's going to dig up what happened with that thumb injury and how he injured it. A lot of people think it was a scrap down in the seaport, but man, let's not, you know, we're not even going to dig on that. So he, you know, has to miss time last year because he's loose with COVID. He bangs himself up in the offseason because whatever. And now he's out again with COVID this year. So how good of a leader really is he?
Yeah, I said this to Murray a while ago. I don't think he's a great leader at all.
How good of an example is he setting? So it's like Bill's hitching his wagon to this guy. And then Bill has a chance to say something, anything, or just represent the organization in some way, shape, or form. It's like, there you go. It's only here. Mike Giardi, NFL Network, tweeted, there's a level of frustration internally with the Cam Newton situation. He says, one important member of the organization believes this has opened a window of opportunity for rookie Mac Jones. What I find interesting there, Greg, is that it's one important member of the organization versus the organization believes. So is there little of a bit of a palace cue here, do you think? I mean, this is Bill's guy. He's hitched his wagon to Cam Newton, and not everyone's on board with that down there.
I'm not ready to say that, Mike. I think that, you know, when I read Giardi's report, I just read it as, of course they're frustrated. I mean, that this happens on a couple of off days, and they're, 19, 18 days away from the season opener. And they lose their presumed starter for the opener for 3 days of work that they've, you know, probably had scripted since the offseason, and he's not going to be out there. Of course you're frustrated by it. I think they would also be frustrated by an injury. Yes, it would be a little bit different, but I don't view it as hugely controversial. I think that
it should be.
They would be frustrated in a lot of different circumstances.
But I'll tell you what, it should be different.
So I took it as good news because yesterday I had doubts whether or not anybody down there was at all irritated or frustrated.
I mean, you can't put this on par with an injury, Greg. An injury's, you know, most of them.
I'm not putting it on par with an injury. I'm just saying.
Right. Thank you.
I'm just saying that if, say, Cam Newton jammed his thumb on a helmet on Monday and missed this week of practice, they would be frustrated.
Yeah, and if
that's all I'm saying.
And if he jammed it chasing down a guy in the parking lot who grabbed a purse of his date in the seaport, I would think they would be more frustrated. Or they should
probably
be more frustrated. Yeah. And if he missed time because of an injury, they'd be frustrated. But if he misses time because he's irresponsible and sloppy with COVID protocols or is too stubborn to get a vaccine, I would hope they're more frustrated. So,
well, they have to be.
Yes, but again, this is a problem of their own creation. They signed Newton. They've had the whole offseason. They knew his vaccination situation. Did they even you know, they let go of the Dola Gala kid. Did they keep like a bunch of quarterbacks just in case of different scenarios? No. Now they're down to two. This is entirely their own bed. Belichick made this bed. He's got to lay in it. That's why part of the reason why I don't think he's going to come off Newton very quickly.
I like it. All right. I mean, I like the take. I think you're right, but it's frustrating. It doesn't make Bill right. To your calls, as promised, Charlie and Cranston. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, I was going to ask about how Bill started Brady over Bledsoe. So he clearly saw something there. And could you compare that to the Cam Mack situation?
No. And, you know, I don't know how far you want to go back into that. Bill liked Brady for sure, and he was moving him up the depth chart. But just remember this, that when Drew Bledsoe got up from that hit from Mo Lewis, he went back in for a series. Okay, Bill put him back in. It's not like Bill immediately went, oh, there's my chance. Now we're Tom, and we're going forward Tom all the time. No, no, no. When Drew stood up, he put him back in the game. And then Drew went back out. So
And also, I mean, look, I don't know how much Charlie Weiss is involved in the discussions, but Charlie Weiss told me years ago that it was touch and go whether Heward or Tom Brady was going to be the top backup going into that season. I think the biggest difference in the two circumstances is the Patriots were 0-2 at the time, and they were running it. Belichick didn't have much job security. He thought he was on the verge of getting fired, and you know, sort of had to make the choice.
I mean, look, with all due respect to the caller, it's not even remotely close to the same thing.
Thank you.
Okay, but Brady got in there because of an injury, and then they started winning, like in the regular season. Totally different. Completely, totally different. And so by the time Bledsoe was ready to go, now they had a different circumstance. Now the guy had seized the job. And so not even close to the same thing.
I guess I guess the whole point of bringing up those details is that the Brady thing was more happenstance and luck than people want to give it credit for. I think, you know, we go back in history and say this was Bill's master plan. He was always going to elevate Brady. He was his guy. And now it took an injury, and then even then it wasn't as clear cut as you think. They sort of backed into that one. This one is different on a lot of different
levels. Yeah, now what did happen, though, Mike, is Brady took the job.
That's right.
Right? He took advantage of it and took the job, and that was that. That part is, on, you know, a credit to Brady.
I mean, and I do give credit for Bill for moving Brady up from fourth to second. Like, that, there was no luck involved with that. That they just recognized that and wanted to move him up and moved him up. But then that pulling the trigger on the last one, that was, again, good fortune as much as anything. Zach in Worcester. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, I was just saying, save the Pats tank last year and they were able to get like a top three pick, get Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, or Trey Lance. Do you think they would still like have Cam and Mac compete, or do you think they would just put one of the three guys and just have Cam be a backup?
Well, that's a fair question, because I think when you draft a guy number one overall, usually that guy plays. You know, not every rookie plays, but usually that guy plays. Parcells played Bledsoe again, if we're going back there. So that might be different. I don't know, Greg, what do you think?
Well, that's going with the theory that the Patriots would have chosen a different quarterback had they been in the top five. I don't know if they would have. They wouldn't have taken Fields. I doubt they would have taken Lance. Now, Wilson, yeah, I think Wilson is ridiculous. I think he's ridiculously talented. And he'll probably be the best out of these rookies, at least his rookie season. But I don't know. I don't know if the Patriots would have taken some of those other quarterbacks.
They would have taken Lawrence. They would have taken.
I mean, Lawrence is number one overall. They weren't going to get Lawrence.
No, but that was the question from the caller.
I'm just going by the question that the caller presented. That's all.
Can we deal with reality a little bit, in that Trevor Lawrence was going to be the number one pick and the Patriots were not going to be as bad as the Jaguars.
But the caller asked.
So let's move on to the other guys.
Let's move on to the other guys, big boy.
I'm just trying to actually converse with people.
No, that's good. Let's get his panties are getting in a bunch,
of
which is a good thing.
Of all the things for Bedard to be bitchy about, he's
what
bitchy
What are you talking about? Like, you guys are just looking for an opportunity to get out. Go ahead.
Yeah,
here we go.
That's what we are. I'm just telling you. It's
Trevor
a talk
Lawrence,
show.
Look, Trevor Lawrence was never never going to be in the discussion. That's a fact, right? Hello? Yes? Were they going to get the number one overall pick?
Hey, we don't discuss facts here, Greg. We speculate.
And this here comes your segment where we can talk about guards and guys that weigh 320 pounds that no one knows about. Three up, three down with Bedard right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant. With his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, three up and three down with the big boy. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. He's gone over all the charts from last Thursday's preseason game in Philly. It's not just based on the game. Based on everything from the last week, let's call it. So risers and fallers over the past week, including the game and practices and anything that Greg has seen or heard. So three up, three down. Who's your number one star this past week, Greg?
Mac Jones. I thought he took a big step forward. The Eagles week, the Eagles game, I thought he was outstanding in the Eagles game. The decision-making, everything was a little bit faster. And here's the thing, after watching him up close for a while, he doesn't wow you. I do think he showed off his arm a little bit more. So, that was nice to see. We haven't seen that much in practice. But I think here's the difference where Max stands out. And the more you watch him, the more you appreciate it, is that even when he's off in like 6-inch, 1-foot windows. Like, it's always right there. It's always in the right place. You remember how those – we heard from those Alabama receivers. They were all asked coming out, who would you rather catch passes from, Mac Jones or Tua? And they all said Mac Jones without hesitating. And now I see why. I mean, even today, so the touchdown pass to Jonnu Smith, the Jacoby Myers was really nice, but the Jonnu Smith one, Jonnu was in the seam in the end zone, and Phillips was on his inside. And this all happened within less than 2 seconds. And most quarterbacks would have probably tried to lead Smith or go high, but Jones calculated that that didn't really have a chance. So he put it back shoulder where Smith just needed to turn a little bit, but it was a window of about 2 feet that he could just catch it, score a touchdown, and keep it away from Phillips. And those are the type of passes. He did that, in the opening preseason game, the one to Wilkerson in the seam where he threw it back shoulder. That kind of stuff, he's just uncanny with his ball placement. It's tremendous, and it's his biggest asset.
Cam Newton.
Wow.
Cam Newton. Now I have to give you this caveat, and it's stupid, okay? So call me stupid, and then let's move on.
We do that all the time.
I know. So I'm not factoring in this whole COVID thing because I don't think it's going to hurt him. I think in that game on the field, 8 of 9, he looked really good. I think he pretty much wrapped up the starting job in Philadelphia last week. So my assessment is coming off of that. I thought that he played well enough in that outing that it's over, and he's the guy.
It's fair.
Okay, second star there, Greg.
I split it between the two young running backs, J.J. Taylor and Ramondre Stevenson. I sort of grouped them together because, I mean, both were outstanding in the Eagles game. I couldn't really differentiate. Yes, Stevenson had the fumble, but, that's something that can be easily cleaned up, we hope. But I grouped them together just because, I had the overriding thought is, I know people are attached to certain players around here, and they're not really attached to Sony Michel, but they're attached to James White. And this roster got into this mess this offseason because for too long, Bill decided to go with the vets and he wouldn't give younger players a chance to just, hey, sink or swim. And look, we believe in you and we think you're going to get the job done. I think Stevenson and J.J. Taylor have earned spots on this team and they might not be as quote unquote reliable as, say, Sony Michel and James White, but you know, you've groomed them or you're grooming them. They should be able to step in that role. Sometimes you got to cut the older guys and just move on and get younger and get cheaper. They didn't do that for long enough. They got into this roster mess. They should keep doing it.
Matthew Judon. I know he was their biggest signing of the offseason, really, in terms of money. I don't think anybody got more. This guy's explosive. I wasn't sure what they were going to get totally here, so I'm just trying to judge him based on what we've seen here in camp. I think he's explosive. He could be really good here.
Third star, Greg.
Yadni could just the
knew this was
guy. The guy we forgot
this
about.
Is a joke. Go.
A guy we forgot about for 2 years with injuries. He was a third round pick. Finally gets on the practice field and stays there this year. I mean, he was terrific in this Eagles game. There was a block where it was like a draw play. He had to go 10 yards down the field. He, you know, he sunk his hips, powered the guy through. Like, you were just like, holy hell, that looks like a tight end. That's not an offensive tackle. Like, this guy's got talent. He's been climbing the depth chart. He's been the first backup at left tackle for a lot of camp. He's done a really nice job in his first real training camp.
I had the running backs, too. So in light of that, I'll say Jacoby Myers. He keeps getting better. Every time I watch him, I said, this guy, he's a player. He can play.
Love that kid. Three duds. Do them all at once, Greg, and we'll rip them all together because we're running out of time.
Okay. N'Keal Harry, Nelson Agholor, and I'm going to say Devon Godchow. Harry, he should have caught that pass that he got injured on. But even worse is he completely screwed up a toss play where it went to Damian Harris. It was pretty early. He ran into...
Well, no, he blocked Isaiah Wynn, right?
Yeah, he blocked Isaiah Wynn. He's running into people like, holy hell, man. Like, how many years have you been on this team? Can we block the right person? And you should have... Damian Harris's look after that was just like, dude, get that guy off the field. I mean, are you kidding me?
What are you singing, Agholor, or not sing?
I love Agholor. I just want to see something. Like, he's here to catch passes. He's here to catch touchdown passes. Like, can we see something in a game or in a joint practice or, you know, something where he stands out and is worth the money? I'm not saying he's a bust or anything. I think he's a good player. I can't wait. I think he's going to have a really good year for this team. But can we see it sometime soon, please? Maybe? Huh?
Tried to warn you. The receivers are overrated.
You're three down, Maz.
Quinn Nordine, N'Keal Harry, Sony Michel. Nordine, bye-bye.
Oh my
Practice
God.
Squad for you.
Okay. Forgot Please. About that guy.
Drive for show. Drive for show, putt for dough. I don't care how far you can kick it. If it doesn't go between the two yellow posts, bye-bye. You might as well kick it off the outhouse. Okay, so bye-bye. N'Keal Harry speaks for itself. And Sony Michel, I think, is losing ground to the running backs just about every week. I think his time is ticking.
So he sucks and blows.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, he is. He's the Black & Decker shop vac.
So there's your three up, three down thoughts on that and the Newton COVID situation. Back to your phones right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You know Bill Belichick as well as anybody.
Yeah.
When Cam comes back, do you think it's still, all right, nice to have you back, you're the guy? Or how much do you think he'll get dinged here for missing these few days?
I think that he still will be the guy, no doubt. I do. I don't think that's going to change. You know, New England's not fickle like that. They're not over-emotional. You've seen how steadfast they've stayed with Cam Newton this whole time, even though Mac's been phenomenal in practices and preseason here, right? You know, they're realistic to know what was against him last year, too, and evaluate it for what it is. So, and he's still the number one leader on their football team. And I think there is something to be said about that. It's different times right now, and the world's different. So this kind of happens.
All right, there's Chris Sims today. So I would say, and also RIP Charlie Watts. That's a big one, Murray, huh?
Yeah, that one's sad. That's sad. One of the more underrated drummers of all time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The most underrated, understated backbeat in rock and roll is Charlie Watts. 80 years old. It shows you how you can pollute yourself.
I was just going to say that.
Richards is still going, okay? I had this conversation a couple times today. And take this, all due respect to present company, you know what the key is?
Stay pickled?
No, be skinny.
Skinny.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Be skinny. Be skinny. Charlie Watts, I'm sure, was no angel. It felt like he didn't hit it as hard as some of those. No one hits it as hard as Richards. Like, no one has ever... Like, I mean, but Steven Tyler and like these guys, they're still good. You know why? They're skinny. They're skinny. My guy, Garcia, kicked it at 53. You know why?
Fat.
Fatso.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keith Richards, I would argue, was the greatest accomplishment in the history of mankind.
That's a medical marvel.
No, it's a human marvel. Quick, not just medical.
Quick Charlie,
I don't know how he's done it.
Quick Charlie Watts story that's making the rounds right now. Take 2 seconds. Mid-80s, an intoxicated Mick Jagger phoned Watts' hotel room in the middle of the night asking, "Where's my drummer?" Watts reportedly got up, shaved, dressed in a suit, put on a tie, freshly shined shoes, descended the stairs, punched Jagger in the face saying, "Don't you ever call me your drummer again. You're my effing singer."
Oh, there you go.
That's a good one.
Anyway, there's Chris Sims. Back to the sound. Chris Sims says he doesn't think it's going to change anything, this COVID situation. Again, just to reset, Greg, you agree. You don't think it's going to change anything in terms of who the starter is week one?
100%. I completely agree with Chris Sims that that the Patriots aren't going to get over-emotional, unlike some people, and overreact to certain things. And they pick a course. They stay with it. They can adjust. But... I think they're just fine with the course that they're on.
Okay, which is too bad, because I think it's just to have an unvaccinated quarterback is one thing. That's dysfunctional in and of itself. But a dysfunctional quarterback who keeps running into it and doesn't know the rules or doesn't want to follow the rules or isn't organized enough to follow the rules is just asking for trouble. And again, I think Newton is sort of building a resume here of being unreliable. Misses because of COVID protocols last year. Misses time in the offseason because no one will report it or chase it down, but had some sort of something probably off campus. And now has missed time this camp in a really important week because he can't follow the protocols. So I just, when Bill talks about reliability more important than ability or all of that, and he's still okay going forward with this guy, it's like, wow. To me, that is remarkable. But that's where we're at. To your phones. With Phil in Malden. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, thanks for the call, guys. I don't know if any of you caught Cam Newton's press conference last Friday after the Philadelphia game, but he said he missed his wife and kids, and then all of a sudden Saturday he goes to this undisclosed medical appointment, and now he's gone for 5 days. So I blame it on Belichick.
Okay, well, Bill, I mean, I think Greg's made a good point. It's like, this is Bill's guy. They know exactly what they're getting into with Cam Newton, who, again, who's been trending to the unreliable. He's not vaccinated, which, even if you're dialed in and organized, takes some effort, right? So you're susceptible, if you're not vaccinated, to this five-day protocol thing. Well, what if you're unreliable and not very dialed in, like Cam Newton apparently isn't? This was a fait accompli. This was going to happen sooner than later, and it will happen again. And Bill's going forward with it. So... whose fault is this?
Bill's. Definitely Bill's. I think, you know, when you take a player like Newton, you take everything that comes along with him. And that aside, I have one hope in this whole thing, that this one now pushes Bill to the edge at least. And that if it didn't force him to make a move, it at least pushes him to the edge where the next one will be the move.
Greg, let me ask you, do you think Newton has been making strides? Or is it the same thing that was just packaged well this last game?
I think he's been a little bit better, but I think your point about it being just packaged a little bit better and setting him up for success, I think there's some validity to that. And I also think, you know, I don't know if we're going to get into this next hour, but, you know, I think Maz brought up about, you know, possibly Mac Jones running 2 minute and things like that. Like, I think that's a possibility because I've barely seen Cam Newton run 2 minute in practice this spring and summer. And we talked about it last week, that sort of 2QB system. And you have to give me examples on like how it would work. And then I can tell you whether it would work football wise. And my overarching thought is it doesn't really work for anybody. Now, if the Patriots get down by scores and they got to run, hurry up and things like that. Okay. I could see that them going to Jones. He can throw. Newton really can't. But I could see, you know, before halftime, you know, maybe popping Jones in there. But again, coming in cold, that's a tough ask.
So just to fill in the back here a little bit. I heard Zolak talking today about the 2 minute, and he said, "Geez, I haven't even seen Cam do it yet. Jones is doing it all the time." So mm-hmm. It popped into my head at that moment. I said, "Maybe that's how Bill will use him." Like, we have all these people saying they'll rotate quarterbacks, and I laugh at them. I dismiss the idea. I don't think it's doable. But that scenario, to me, sounds a little more realistic.
4 minutes left. You're down 2 points at your own 20-yard line after a touchback. Who's the quarterback?
Down two?
Okay, let's not get too into this. 4 minutes left. Who's your quarterback?
Jones.
Down
For
one.
Bill, it's Cam.
Down six. Right. So, like, I mean, now we start to get into this area. I say that purposely because, well, it's one thing to say end of the second quarter, minute 45 left, 2 minute drill, you throw in Mac Jones. Okay, now the game's on the line. Game's tied, whatever. Down a point, down 2 points, need a field goal. You're down 6 points, you need a touchdown. There's 4 minutes left. It's a 4 minute drill, not a 2 minute drill. Who's your quarterback?
Jones.
Okay.
Who's a bigger playbook?
Who's Bill's quarterback?
Cam.
Newton.
Okay. So,
Cam.
Like, we're going to get, if, do you think Bill wants any part of this thing that we just did here?
No.
So I didn't think of it in those terms. I thought of it as halftime. In other words, you know, 2 minutes to go and a half, you get the ball in your 17-yard line, but you get all three timeouts. Who do you put in? Put Jones in. He'll get you down the field.
Okay, well, that's an easy one. Or a more clear-cut
one. No, but the end of the game's a good point.
That's Bill, a better one.
Yeah, Bill won't introduce it.
I just think that's a headache. Bill doesn't want that. Doug in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, Belichick, at least, give him credit. You know, he did get ahead of this. He brought in Mac Jones, so he did make contingency plans. But, you know, you said it yourself, Felga. You know, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated with some guy who is vaccine hesitant. He's sending a terrible example for the entire team, for the fans, my 11-year-old son. You know, you look at the geography of all the opponents, okay? We're not trying to just take down, you know, the Miami Dolphins. I mean, I know this sounds corny, but we're trying to defeat the virus.
Okay,
this is
hey, Doug, thank you for the call and your thoughts, but we're going to save the world on another day. We are just talking about the football team.
Right, let's keep it to football.
And he's right about that point, though, about setting a horrible example across the locker room. Like, it makes everyone's life easier, more functional. You can have a better team, a more coherent team. It's better for everyone involved if everyone in that locker room gets vaccinated. And the leader of it is denying it or reluctant or like that's another thing. Cam Newton,
hey, Mike,
this whole thing about Cam Newton's leadership has been a fraud. Go ahead.
Well, related to that, now that you've been saying this and a couple of the callers chimed in on it, you know, what's interesting is that for how many years did we hear about how Bill needed Tom to be the leader and to do everything right, and he allowed Bill to do X, Y, and Z. Now you look at the way he handles Cam, and related to this COVID situation, maybe it was just Tom who was the unicorn. This is just another example of maybe it was just Brady.
Yep.
That Brady. Now, and look.
No, I'm with you.
I'm not going to get, but to continue on with this, maybe it was just Brady who took it upon himself to be the leader, to be at all the practices, to stay after practice, to be at all the offseason stuff. That it wasn't, you know, Bill and Tom. It was just Tom. And that Tom set the tone, because all of a sudden now he gets Cam Newton, and Cam Newton could do whatever the hell he wants and take himself out of action last year, take himself out of training camp, show up when he wants, and now it's dysfunctional. So, I don't know.
Interesting concept.
Imagine this. That it was just Tom and not Bill. I said, why? That never occurred to us. But you know what?
It was the quarterback and not the coach.
Maybe,
what do you know?
Maybe we should do a segment on that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Like, we barely talked
just
about
on this,
that.
Just on this. Not on the other stuff. Just on this. The quarterback being the leader and being the shining example for Belichick that he can impose on other players.
Okay.
Just
listen,
that.
If we do a full segment, make it a short one. 3:37.
Okay. Meanwhile, coming up, more Bill on the Cam Newton situation. situation from today. He was asked about it. You'll hear that exchange. And the biggest concern with Mac Jones, we'll give you that after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.